Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, the definitive sports video game show, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, all right, we are here with Ryan Ferwerda from EA Sports. Ryan, first of all, welcome back to the Press Row Podcast.
And it's good to be back, man.
Second of all, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
You did. Nailed it.
Good deal. I'm not very good at that, so I'm glad to get that. So
it's a very rare one to get it nailed.
Well, we have met before, so at least I could sort of into the back of my memory for that. So we are here today to talk about Rory McIlroy PGA Tour Golf. Ryan, what is your role specifically on this game?
So I ended up coming over to the team to kind of help out in a producer role on the game. So basically, working with the team to make sure that, obviously the game gets finished. We try to hit as high quality bar as we can, making sure the creative is still locked and we're staying true to that. And, making sure all of our, partners, golfers, courses, everyone's happy as well. So kind of a little bit of a jack of all trades on the game.
Interesting. So how long has the game technically been in development? Because it's been a couple of years since the last EA Sports golf game, which was a Tiger Woods game. So how long has this thing actually been sort of in the process of being built?
So it's been obviously about a little bit more than two calendar years since the last one you guys all got your hands on. But I think when you look at a development window like that, to first kind of set it back, the decision was made, and I 100% agree with it, to sort of reset and build this thing from scratch, because we felt that the games from the Frostbite engine, which obviously is what the game runs on, were such that it truly can help redefine what the next generation of golf for us means. So we took a smaller team, went off, started, no one in the studio had ever used Frostbite, right? This is the first sports game to launch on Frostbite. I don't think that message should really be lost, because it truly is, when you're playing a next-generation engine with brand-new stuff that no one has ever touched. And, that undertaking is massive. So I think when you look at it, there's a two-year calendar window behind it, but true game dev is probably quite a bit shorter than that, just because you're spending time ramping folks up, learning how to use the engine. I mean, it's literally Frostbite 101 the first couple of weeks, right? You've never touched the thing before. And then building towards that.
So we are talking on July 14th, which is the day that the game launches. This interview will be published on the 17th, so a few days after that. So let's just start at today, right? Like, your game officially is now available for everybody. It's been available through EA Access for close to a week now, but now it's launched worldwide. What's your feeling like? Is it relief? Is it anticipation? Is it excitement? Are you ready to just go curl up in a corner? Like, what's that feeling on the day of worldwide launch?
I would say for the majority of the team, it's a nervous excitement, if that makes sense. You kind of wake up. I remember I woke up this morning, I told my wife, I was like, launch day, let's go. I put the team T-shirt on, the whole thing. It's one of those you kind of get on social media as soon as you wake up. In bed, I was on it last night, kind of seeing what people were having to say. And obviously, we've been monitoring that as well with Access. But, when it truly goes mass scale. So I say nervous excitement is probably the best way I could describe it, because it's like this thing you've been incubating and spending time on and making decisions on and deciding, what are the right things to do. And you sort of send it off into the wild and kind of hope that decisions you and your team made are vetted. I think it's been really great to see that people seem to fairly unanimously agree that it's definitely, the best looking, best playing version of EA Sports Golf we've ever had. And I think that that's a great message and something that, really the team seems to be quite happy about. And I think that there's nothing, when you go into a launch day, you just want to make sure everything keeps operating and working all day. And, I always joke, like, we come out from our bunker on launch days to come talk to, folks like yourself, and then go back into it and kind of monitor things throughout the day and make sure that everything and sort of the the different arms of EA are deployed to kind of work with all of our customers and gamers to make sure they're happy too. You know, we're interacting with everybody from, you know, customer service to, you know, folks in our communications group, you know, kind of top to bottom. So it's a fun day because your baby's sort of out. But it's a bit of a nervous excitement just because you're kind of on edge all day monitoring what's happening. And, you know, that kind of stays with you the whole week. I mean, kind of all the different games I've worked on, you always have that, just that kind of feeling in the back of your throat. It's not a bad feeling. It's just, it's exciting. It's just, you know, you're just kind of on edge a bit.
So, you know, we're going to talk a lot about the specific aspects of the game, but you sort of mentioned that feeling of like coming out of the bunker. Like, you've been in a development tunnel for quite some time now, right? And obviously things are different now than they used to be 5 or 10 years ago, right? Where you do have a sense of what people are thinking and saying a lot sooner, you know, because of social media and stuff than you used to before. But, you know, even so, you've been in a tunnel, you've been developing, you know, testing and fixing. You just, you know, you're in a very different place than anybody else. What's your expectation of what the critical reception will be of this game? Do you feel like you have a good sense for it, or are you just kind of like sort of stepping up, taking a breath and figuring it out?
Yeah, I think so I guess to set it back a second, one, I think you completely nailed it with saying that the way things have evolved the last 5 to 10 years have really changed the way we kind of respond and know what's going on in our games. You know, I've worked on when Madden PS2, we obviously joke, you put your disc in the box, you can't update it, everything better be right, you send it out and hope it all works. And you're not really getting feedback unless it's through people calling customer service, and you know, you don't really have that one-to-one relationship other than people that are usually pissed off, right? No one contacts customer service and goes, man, I really loved this game this year. So it's cool because, you know, to answer your question about now, kind of being that development bunker is, we, because of that ability to get different people playing the game earlier, you know, we do lots of internal play tests, a few external play tests here and there, that we tend to hone in kind of on where we think we're going to be and where we need to go earlier than ever. And then the ability to update titles, you know, post-launch is truly something that has really changed and enhanced the way that we can kind of interact with our customers, right? We can actually respond to feedback about something that, let's say, 90% of the people in the world really dislike something. It's no longer, sorry, you have to wait for the next one. You know, that's something we can potentially take action on as we move forward. So I think that's a great thing that's happened. I think from what I've seen feedback-wise, it seems fair so far. I mean, I think that we know that, you know, we built this thing from the ground up, from scratch. We're really excited about that we, you know, everyone's pretty much unanimous. Like I mentioned earlier, it's best-looking, best-playing game of EA Sports Golf we've had. Do we wish we had more courses? Sure. But these things are all built from scratch, you know, and it's something that when you play them, it's not like courses you've played in the past. They are the entirety of the facility, you know, all loaded at once. And I really can't, you know, there's no out of bounds. I mean, it's truly amazing the detail and fidelity these guys have been able to get out of this engine when it comes to golf. It's amazing. I mean, you played CPC Sawgrass. We went out there in March to record the career intro video of which you see, which we're also really proud of. And it was amazing to feel, even though I've never played that course, I would love to play it, how the accuracy and the way the team nailed it made it feel like I had been there literally 50 times. And it was so cool to be able to go, oh yeah, I'm on 11. You know what I mean? Just everything about it is right. So kind of a long-winded answer what you asked, but, you know, I think from a, you know, the way response feedback has changed, it's been cool to see, it's been just cool to be able to get ahead of stuff and kind of know. And I think even EA Access is awesome for that too, right? You know, we know a couple of days. There is no more like day zero, minute one. It's a nice kind of slow rollout where we can check things, monitor things, and make sure things go great. And I think ultimately that helps out the customer, which is the most important thing.
You know, you bring up EA Access. That was actually my next question. I would think that EA Access, I mean, certainly from a consumer standpoint, and I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to a guy who works for EA. I've said this, you know, on this show and many other places. EA Access is a fantastic service, one of the things that's great about it.
I love it.
Yeah, one of the things that's great about it is you get the games basically a week early. And now, like, even with Rory McIlroy, you get 10 hours of gameplay. Like, 6 hours, it's a little, you know, it sounds like a lot until you start playing and you see that counter count down. Yeah. You start to get freaked out. Like, 10 hours, that's a solid chunk of amount of time to play a game like Rory McIlroy to understand whether you're going to like it or not. But what does EA Access mean to you from a developer standpoint? It's like, is it just like, oh, my gosh, they just cut us a week? You know, now I got one less week to make the game, or is that not really an issue? Yeah. Do the benefits outweigh the negatives? Like, what is EA Access, you know, now that it's sort of been around for a bit, what does that mean to you when you're making these games?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think when they first talked about it to us, all of our first reaction is, oh no, we're going to cut a week short, you know, whatever. Well, I think there's also that slow realization that as the world has shifted to digital downloads, and basically the infrastructure being set up to make that so much easier, really there isn't an impact to our release timeline. And once that team got through that hurdle, I think that was a big one to realize it doesn't really change you too much. And for me, I think that it's a great service in the fact that it shows that you're confident in your game. And if, to your point, if you want someone to play it for 10 hours before making a purchasing decision, that we think that's okay. And in fact, we'll discount your purchase if you want to do it. And then what else is great about Access in particular is that when you play, all your progress is continued on, right? You're not restarting. It's not like, oh, I lost it, or a demo or something like that. It's like you basically got the game early and you flipped the switch when the game launched. So for me as a game developer, I've been very excited about Access, and I kind of have worked with some of those teams for quite a while, to make sure that, you know, the value was right and that what the fans got out of it and how it worked and how it functioned was helped the game teams as well. So I love the fact that, you know, a couple of days before the game comes out, we were actually joking about, just when we talked about stress testing services and making sure that everything's up and running for online, is EA Access gives us a nice little microcosm of what the service is going to look like when it goes live for everybody. So we can start to see any potential hiccups or anything that may happen, but we can see it in a bit of a more controlled environment. So, you know, I personally am a huge advocate for EA Access, not just from a consumer benefit, because I think, like, you nailed it. It's awesome. It's a great value. If you're a big EA game player, there really is not a reason to not have Access, especially with how many games are in the vault now. It's insane. But also from a game development perspective, because, again, it lets people get exposed to our game earlier, which I always think is going to be a great thing. And also, I think, you know, from it just shows the confidence, like, hey, you know, we want you to play our games. I mean, I think that's a great message. You know, we want you to play the game.
So a lot of stuff to talk about with Rory McIlroy PGA Tour. I've been playing it quite a bit. I guess, I mean, you mentioned the courses, so let's start there. I mean, I think it's pretty much universally accepted that the courses that are there are good. There's just not enough of them, right? There are 8, I think, real-world licensed courses, 9 if you pre-ordered it. There are 4 sort of created courses. What does it take? You say, you know, these things got to get built from scratch, and I completely appreciate that. What does it take to build a course? I'm curious because, you know, I honestly don't know, and I don't think a lot of people know, especially, you know, with next generation consoles and all the new art, all the, you know, it's not just art, it's not just you know, sort of designing the ground. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So what is it that it actually takes to make these things come from, you know, a whiteboard into the game?
Yeah, so when you start off with, you know, when you look at a course, it used to be that you would go and kind of go out and take some photographer, you know, some reference, you might scan some things and kind of lay stuff out. And then you started building each like an individual hole and just kind of move along. Well, now with the way we've redone it, obviously none of those assets can be reused because it's all for next generation. So to give you an example, like I'll use Sawgrass again, it's a perfect one. We actually send a full environment art team out. That can be anywhere from 3 to 5 people, sometimes bigger. They go out and they scan the entirety of the course. So we have a scanner that gets it within accuracy of, I think, 6 millimeters. So it's pretty ridiculously close for topography. But obviously when you do that, you don't pick up all the vegetation and all that stuff there. So then these guys literally go with a army of cameras, and they take reference of absolutely everything from palm fronds to rock patterns, the way the sand is on each course, and they go and they accurately recreate that stuff within the engine itself. It's a large human undertaking to do one of these courses. And I think you see that with not just golf, but all next generation titles is every time the fidelity of art and those things increases significantly, you're going to continue to see, you have to keep investing in those to make sure that they're as good as they are as possible. I think kind of the proof's in the pudding. I mean, if you go play these courses, they are absolutely phenomenal. It's funny, there's a funny story. I was at, I think, the World Golf Championships, and Rory McIlroy was actually there with us, and he really just wanted to play Chambers Bay because he hadn't played it yet, and he knew that our representation of it would be accurate enough that it was a course that he could go and start to mess around with. And that type of stuff is pretty cool. And him even mentioning that, like, one of the first places he ever played, the Island Green at Sawgrass, was basically in video in the games earlier. So we try to take that and make sure that we are as accurate as possible. And with that comes a cost. So, we go and we scan the courses, we photograph everything. We sent people to Scotland to get St. Andrews and Royal Troon, which are really unique and fun courses. But, he said he was out there in the middle of the night driving in, so he could get there as early in the morning as possible and start taking photos of all this stuff. It's a pretty large undertaking just to get out of the reference. And then once we get stuff back in house, it's a big effort. And I really can't, I guess, overstate the difference in building the entirety of a golf course, right? I mean, if you play, Rich, you said you've been playing. If you play Chambers Bay, for example, and you're in, I can't remember the green or the tee box, but there's one, and you can like see the entirety almost of the Puget Sound. There's whales in the water. There's all these different things happening. It's an expansive, huge environment. And it's only something you can do on these next-generation platforms with Frostbite and the fact that you don't have to load any between you either. It means that there's no shortcuts, right? So you have to literally build absolutely everything. And then on top of that, now that there is no fake out-of-bounds, out-of-bounds is always, you basically play it where it lies. So with that being the case, you could hit the ball anywhere, which means anywhere you hit it has to look good. So, you take that into account as well. Then you have certain things like, our fantasy courses, and you mentioned the other, I appreciate saying they're kind of created courses because Lighthouse Point and Wetlands tend to be courses that are almost like your local municipal Lighthouse Points. I would be an amazing course in real life. But
yeah, I had to Google that. To figure out, is this a real course or is this not? It took me a few Googles to realize, this is not a real course.
Yeah, which is, for our intent purpose, I think that's good because they're not, when people think fantasy course, they sometimes think it's like mini golf with windmills and things like that, and they're not. Obviously the Battlefield course is completely unique, and it's something out there that was fun to do, and I think it's a fun course to play. It's a par 3, or it's 18 holes, 70, and it's a really fun course as well. That's cool just to be able to take a Battlefield map and go through and just, I think on the third hole, a giant battleship comes and wrecks into the thing. And just to experience golf a bit of a different way is cool. And then the Grand Canyon course that we have, I don't know if you had a chance to play that, but that course is absolutely spectacular. I mean, I wish it was in real life, but it also, I guess, would mean damaging the Grand Canyon, which is probably not a great idea. But, that course for me sort of sums up when we say, like, golf without limits, what you can do. It's a course that is something that you would absolutely wish you could play in real life and could technically maybe be possible, but you'll never be able to play. And I'm proud that the game is able to build something like that and let players try it because it still plays like a real golf course. Nothing's insane. It's just that you're playing in an incredible environment that just looks absolutely amazing.
I'll just say this. I don't know if it'll come out right, but I'll say it anyway. Like one of the problems that has been plaguing the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One generation games at launch is a lot of them just flat out don't work for whatever reason. Games are big. There's thousands of systems, millions of lines of code, so many variables that just make it so much more complex to make games. So, and sort of my gut feeling has been with a lot of these things. And it's an easy statement to make, especially when you're not the guy making them. But that a lot of these games now are just a lot bigger than anybody realized when they start making these things. And development teams are still coming to grips with how to make these things happen. So with a game like Rory McIlroy, where to me the core game feels really good, like, and we'll talk more about what that core game is. I'm talking about the mechanics and shots and stuff like that. The core game feels really good. You know, but the number of places that you get to play it is small compared to, you know, the bar that was set by Tiger Woods games of the past. Was this a matter of, okay, well, you know, there's only so many hours in the day and there's only so many days between when the game has to hit, and you just sort of, this is what we can make happen? Or was the game sort of designed around, this is the number of courses that we want and we want to optimize it? Like, what? How did you sort of arrive at this is the number of courses that we're going to deliver when people buy this game when it first launches?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as a game maker, you always want to put as much content as you can in the game, always, right? You always want to say, oh, it'd be great to have this, and this. But that's one of the things that, you know, in our job we have to do. Everything's a priority exercise. So it's, you know, what do we feel the right amount of courses are to start off the franchise anew with? Do we have the right variety of courses? Is there a right mix between different styles and where they're located, because all the courses have unique physics now? So, you know, when you kind of look at it that way, that's where you start. Obviously, we all love courses. We know that courses are a huge part of the character of the game. And I think to answer your question, I mean, do we come out and set a number like, hey, we want this many and start there? No, I think it's just a priority exercise, right? When we jump into this stuff, we still are learning as well. And so we're still figuring out how long it takes to build a course, you know, how many people. And that's just sort of... It's just everything. It's kind of like everything in not just video games and everything you do, right? It's all a priority decision of, you know, what do we need to get in now so that we can still hit our deadlines and make sure everything's right. But I think from, you know, a game maker perspective, we don't set a number and say this is what we want. We start to learn how many we can make, what we can get, what the right mix is, and then we go from there. And, you know, we're comfortable, obviously, with the number of courses that are in there. And then as, you know, we continue to talk about this franchise, obviously, you know, that's stuff that we'll always keep front of mind as well.
So that brings up the next sort of point. This game is not Rory McIlroy PGA Tour 15. It is correct. Rory McIlroy PGA Tour Golf. That is a non-subtle thing, right? So
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I've been, you know, for years I've been saying if there's any sports game that should, you know, that is best modeled as sports as a service, it's golf, because as an annual release, you know, it's not like there's a huge, you know, there's no quote-unquote roster update for golfers, and a lot of the courses are the same courses every year. Obviously, the majors change, except for Augusta. So, it's not a number. There's... clearly, that's for a reason. So what is the plan moving forward? What can you tell us about, okay, I bought this game at launch. I've got what I've got. Now I want more. Right? What's the plan for adding more courses? What's the plan for adding more golfers? What's maybe, you know, building out further, fleshing
anything,
out the
right?
career modes or the online stuff?
Like, yeah.
What's the plan? Because that's a question everyone wants to know.
Yeah, and I hate to be coy here, but I can say that we will be supporting the game with free content updates post-launch. I unfortunately can't provide more details. I think everyone will be very happy with what we're able to provide. But to your point about kind of buying in and getting in with us and starting here, I think that's a really apt way to look at it. It's like, you know, this is where we start, and we're going to give free content updates post-launch.
So
I can feel the ire of the internet on me as I say that. That's unfortunately all I am able to say at this point.
And the question is why? Like, what you know, why can't, if you have plans, why can't you? I mean, obviously, you want to play some things close to the vest, but I mean,
there's a lot of different just basically communications plans that we have here that we just kind of have to adhere to for a variety of reasons. Obviously, you know. From majority of our perspectives, we'll tell everybody everything all the time, but unfortunately, we can't do that. So,
okay,
I have to leave it at that.
All right, I'll ask you three more times, different ways, see if I can get you to spill.
I'm fine. I'll just hear a different version of the content update.
All right. So, so let's talk a little bit more about the game itself. Golf games historically have been heavily weighted on the career modes. You know, the single player guys, people create their golfer and they take him out there and they try to, you know, win the Grand Slam and this and that, the other thing. So I would imagine that, you know, you obviously, you know that and you plan for it, you build out the career mode. So what about the career mode do you think is you know, what are its strongest suits? What do you like the most about it? And what are you hearing people say about the career mode when you hop in?
Yeah, so I think you're right. People love career mode. They love kind of creating their own guy and having him and build things. It just is actually really unique to golf. You know, so many other games, people just, they want to play as their favorites or their heroes. In golf, people want to compete against them and beat them. So that's why career is a great way to start off with. So in career mode, I think it's cool that you start off at the web.com tour, kind of in the final tournament, if you will, to earn your card and make it to the PGA tour. And then what I actually love is quick rounds. You can turn it off, and I've noticed that, at least just from kind of, you know, perusing initial feedback, that people really seem to be digging the fact that they're knocking out and getting the entirety of a tournament experience, like a four-day tournament, just by playing these snippets of holes. So the way quick rounds works is, you know, you basically, when you start a tournament, based on your attributes, we'll simulate you to a point in the day. So, you know, let's say I'm, you know, in the Open, it's coming up this week, start off day one on Thursday, the game simulated me to the sixth hole, I'm two under, and you start the game up and you're presented with the leaderboard of where you currently stand, where all the other golfers in the tour are. And then you actually, you pick up there and then you play a subset of holes. And that subset of holes can be four holes, five holes, six holes, and it actually in majors is a little bit longer. But the idea there is that we give you a four-day tournament experience so you can truly feel the movement on the leaderboard and seeing the different players. And it really, if you think about it from a tension level, makes absolutely every single hole count. I know when I've, you know, obviously played the franchise in the past, if you're playing four-day 18 holes, you feel like every shot doesn't matter because you can make it up somewhere else. When you're playing a four or five hole snippet on a Sunday or Saturday, excuse me, then you know you really are, every single shot you take counts because it's going to get simulated based on your attributes, which I personally love. I mean, I've played so many more full tournaments and the feedback we've gotten is the same as well using quick rounds, just because, again, you're feeling the tension of the tournament. And I know when we look at telemetry, and so many people would either just play like one day of a tournament, they would change it to, you know, one day only, et cetera, and go the way through. And we really want to make sure people have that whole tournament experience. And I think that coupled with the fact that the way that XP works now, that how you earn XP based on basically what you're doing on the course, but then you're able to go back and you unlock attribute boosts that allow you to change and tweak the way your golfer kind of progresses, if you will, to use like kind of a football-y term. But you can, you know, add like balance, precision, and there's all these different types of areas of focus from these attribute boosts that you can then apply to your golfer. I think that coupled with quick rounds really makes it engaging for you to play because you're getting through all these awesome tournaments, you're chasing majors, you're unlocking apparel and new stuff and trying to get new sponsors. And at the same time, your golfer is slowly playing the way that you want him to play just by providing these different boosts that you're unlocking. So, for me, it's kind of that, it's a really fun loop because I feel like I'm playing in these big tournaments. I'm getting XP, building the guy the way that I want, unlocking cool things and new sponsorships. You know, I know for me, when I was just chasing Nike because I wanted to put my guy in Volt everything if I could, bright yellow. And it was just super cool to just kind of know that that was there and I was trying to chase it to unlock it.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like the quick rounds too. I think one of the things that it does, and you mentioned a couple things that it does, but it playing 18 holes, you know, it's hard like to say, all right, I'm going to play 18 holes for four rounds. Like, you know, there's maniacs like my friend Owen Good who does that. But, I mean, you know, guys like me.
I'll do it, but it's, yes. 72 holes is a lot to consistently.
Yeah, right. But even 18 holes is a lot too. But if you just play like the fourth round, you know, or if you play a quote-unquote one-round golf tournament of just the 18 holes, yeah, you don't, you know, it certainly is an excellent representation. But on the other hand, I've noticed that, at least for me, quick rounds, like the fact that it's different weather or different times of day, I guess not different weather, but different times of day gives it I definitely feel like I'm in a different place, right, or a different time. It gives a little nice little bit of value. I think the other thing I like about it too is that it does give a more dynamic feel to the tournament. Like, you know, there's different leaders on different days. I missed the cut a lot early on because and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but because typically I start off using the classic, you know, meter, and, you know, I would hit the A button before I was actually realizing I was hitting the A button, and the next thing I know, a 2-foot par putt becomes a, you know, 50-foot shot, but that's more because of my impatience. Yeah. But, it definitely, I do like the quick rounds because it gives me, for whatever reason, a more of a higher level sense of what's going on in the tournament without having to play all those 18 holes. You know, one of the things I also noticed about my golfer, and I was curious about this, and maybe it's just a setting that I didn't, you know, change, but after, you know, I get XP, then it seems like the ratings sort of increase on their own. I don't get to say, okay, give me a bump or two on my power, or give me a couple of bumps on my striking. It sort of does that automatically. Is that, I mean, obviously it's by design, but like I'm curious also the methodology behind having the golfer sort of having him, his attributes modify based upon what's happened, as opposed to me getting to sort of say, all right, increase this attribute by 2 points or something like that.
Yeah, so we want the golfers to organically sort of grow, but with your guidance. You know, sometimes in the past it's been directly the way you play on the course, and that's how you progress, and you don't really go to a slider anymore. In this case, you know, like I mentioned, you go through, you earn XP, and then you progress based off the areas that you've selected in your attribute use.
Right.
So it allows you, and as you get better, those specializations almost, those loadouts, they get more and more refined. So, you know, your first ones are like balanced power, kind of just general buckets, but then it gets to, you know, go for the green, and you'll see that you can begin to kind of hone in the different attribute use you want to see, so that as your player progresses, based on your on-course performance, that those areas will increase or decrease based off the loadout that you have with him with your attribute boosts. So it allows you to organically progress your player while controlling where they go without having to go through and tick off a bunch of little sliders all the time and doing that way. So I like it quite a bit. I think it's a really cool way to make sure that, you know, your guy is just, because, you know, no golfer in the world is always perfect at everything, and it's a great way to kind of refine and hone in the way your player plays to make him play the way you want to play while still rewarding you for playing well on the course.
Yes. One of the other interesting things when it comes to the create a golfer, you know, when you're actually creating your guy, I was surprised that there was no face scanning abilities. I know face scanning is a big part of, you know, what, like NBA Live, you know, when that was demonstrated on stage at E3.
Sure.
Are there plans to perhaps add that in, or was that a choice that was made? I was curious about that.
Yeah. Obviously can't talk about future plans.
Yeah, I told you I'd do that. I told you I would try to ask.
It's all good. No, man, keep asking. It's fine. I think that, you know, obviously on this franchise, we're all big fans of that and, you know, getting yourself in the game that way. However, just like I mentioned with the courses, right, everything's just a priority exercise. And when you're building something from scratch, you have to make a lot of hard decisions, and that's one of those decisions that you have to make. So, you know, obviously I can't talk about the future, but, you know, I think you're seeing an industry-wide lots of really cool innovation when it comes to face scans, and it's something that I think as a team we'll always just kind of keep taking a look at.
Well played, sir. Something else that's interesting about the game is the introduction, right? When you get in there and you first start playing and you're playing the U.S. Open, the final round is Rory McIlroy, and the commentators are very much honing in on the situation at hand, and you've got some interesting camera angles, you know, very reminiscent in a way of the introduction of Madden last year, sort of a hybrid, more emotional presentation. And then you go from that to the career mode, which is, you know, pretty traditional, you know, straightforward career mode. I'm curious. Obviously, it's not completely scalable. Like, you can't make everything in a career mode reflect what you have in the introduction. But is that... I'm getting the sense that you're looking to sort of find that right balance between, you know, just playing the game the way that we've always played these games, as well as trying to inject a little bit of, you know, narration, story, emotion, those kind of things. Is that something that, you know, you think that over the course of time, not necessarily, you know, DLC or something, but will continue to evolve when it comes to not only, you know, PGA Tour golf games, but also just more in general in sports?
Yeah, completely. I think that storytelling in sports is a largely untapped area, and I think it's something that as an industry we've all kind of, you know, we've gone through, we've done our traditional things, and I think it obviously plays well. Players are always going to want to play that way, but I'm really glad to hear that you enjoyed the introduction, because we love the idea of telling that sort of really impactful story. I think hearing Rory himself talk about how he felt and how the moments, you know, he's won quite a few majors, so he knows what that feels like, and to have that sort of gravity applied to the situation while also teaching you how to play, and is a really cool way to get started. I think that if you look at our career mode, you notice when you start off, you pick, you know, are you a prodigy, or and how did you come up? If you start, you listen to the commentary throughout, they'll make mention of little snippets here and there. And then also, you know, from an in-tournament storytelling, I was really happy with where we landed. Well, one with commentary in general, I think sounds really great. But also having the awareness of how you performed on the hole the day before. You know, you'll get, especially in quick rounds, it'll be like, hey, you're on 16. It's like, well, you parred this yesterday. How's he playing? Or, you know, when you simulate in, they'll talk about how your round has been up to that point. I think that there for us is a starting point. But I 100% personally, I guess, and professionally, I love storytelling elements in sports and taking that next level of presenting it to where you feel like you're sort of the hero in the story. And, you know, when you look at that introduction in particular, when that hits, it definitely is a totally different feel, you know, from the, you know, EA Sports Presents, et cetera, with the kind of the opening role, and you hear the commentary come up and you're doing all those things. So I think long term, that's obviously something I think everybody wants to try to talk about, you know, is storytelling is important, and making you feel invested in your guy and making sure you're the hero is awesome.
Something else, too, in the career mode, there's no, at least as far as I can find, I can't find like where the calendar of events is. So how many events are there in a season in the game? And, you know, I'm curious sort of if that was, you know, a design decision to sort of just keep you in that sort of a tunnel, or if that's just one of the priority things, if there's, you know, curious about that, because that was definitely like, I you know, I don't know week to week whether I'm going to be playing in a major or whether I'm going to be in a pro-am.
Yeah.
So I was curious about that from the career mode as well.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I don't remember all the exact how many calendar ones are, because there's other stuff we're looking at with that. So I'll get back to you on that one. But from a showing the calendar, all that stuff, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's all a priority thing. You know, we wanted to not necessarily keep you in a tunnel, but just keep it moving. So if you look at it, a lot of it is just us valuing your time and wanting you to be able to play as efficiently as possible. So it's next tournament to next tournament. You can always go tab over to the right. You can edit your golfer there. You can see the new stories that you're generating. There's lots of stories that are generating as you move up the ranks.
Okay.
Kind of hitting, you're hitting career milestones. It's cool. It'll tell you, like, if you decide to change to Nike stuff, because you've unlocked it, you'll actually get a news story that fires off saying, hey, you know, my case, Ryan Forda has decided to sign with Nike. He's playing their equipment now. So if you go over there, you'll actually see all the milestones you've hit, your earnings, leaderboard, all that stuff as well.
Got it. Yeah, so speaking of hitting milestones, I'm having a hard time hitting them because I'm not very good at certain parts of the game. But I do really like the mechanics. One of the things that I like the best is the ability that you have to tailor the experience to what you like. For example, I started off with Classic, which gives you the old school three-click swing. It lets you sort of zoom ahead and look forward on the course and give you a good idea where your ball is going to land. It gives you the putt reading on the green. But after a little while, I decided I really kind of wanted to go to an analog swing because, and you know, I'll talk about this in a few minutes, or, you know, the game called the Golf Club, that's sort of how I do that. I'm just, you know, that's the game that I've been playing for a while. So I switched to, I think it's either Tour or Pro. I forget what it's called, but
Tour.
Tour, right. And
Widowmaker.
While I liked the swing, all of a sudden I couldn't read the putts anymore, and I couldn't, I really did not have a good idea, especially on a hilly hole where my ball was going to go. So I went in and I customized and I made the presentation to my own, right? So I kept sort of the analog swing, but I now put the zoom back on the putt rating. And, you know, I really like how you can sort of shape your shots and, you know, you really get a good understanding of how to use the draw and the fade and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm interested to hear how you sort of came up with the different sort of pre-built modes and the ability to customize what challenges that offer to you and, you know, if you're happy where it sort of wound up.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we're really happy with where it wound up. So the fact that I love that from the second you put the game in, if you haven't played it yet, you know, you're going to get to try out the three different presets, if you will, which is Arcade, Classic, and Tour. And Arcade is kind of full Monty every assist on, including like an informative best line that shows you if you hit the shot perfectly, including wind, et cetera, where the ball is going to land. And it's the intent for all these different styles to make sure that all these different types of players in the game can have a fun experience and play together, especially with couch multiplayer and things like that. So for us, it's, you know, Tour for Justin Patel, one of our designers, he loves it. You know, it's where he's at there. No hint, you can't zoom, you can't do anything. For him, it's a 100% golf simulation, and that's where he wants it to be at. Now, if I go talk to some of my friends, they may want to go kind of, you know, older style with analog swing. They don't want to worry about, you know, which are they left or right shaping the shots and having to change the analog swing to that way. AJ, our community manager, he likes the right swing, so we have an option where you can switch that. So really for us, it was how do you take all these different gameplay styles and then also give you the ability to make your complete custom loadout. So, you know, for me, I like to play with the analog swing to where if I hit draws or fades, I have to change the swing plane, if you will, of the stick. But then I also don't necessarily want to not be able to zoom. So I can go through and make my own custom loadout. And then I can play couch multiplayer against my brother, who can have full hardcore tour, and we can have compete against each other, each enjoying the game that we want to, but being able to play on the same course is awesome, I think. And what else is great with online is there's tournaments for each of the gameplay styles. So you can truly be the number one player in the world at Arcade. You can be the number one player in the world at Classic or Tour. And we'll actually, you know, we keep track of all that, which is pretty sweet. And then, you know, I don't want to forget mentioning, but there's the three-click is back. And some people love three-click. You know, that's definitely the old school. I always think of, like, Lynx on the PC way back with the three-click. And it's there if you like it. You know, it really does provide a level of accuracy that lots of people like. And I'm really happy with that we've been able to give so many different types of control types to people that they can make their own custom loadout and then also present it up front in a way that you get to try them all right out of the gate, which is something, you know, I think is kind of unique to golf, right? Because when you tweak controls in other sports games, it's more like just changing the buttons, not the actual mechanic. In this case, you're given the opportunity to try different mechanics and change the mechanics the way that you want them. So obviously, you can tell my voice, I'm really happy and excited about where we've been able to land with all the different gameplay styles and the ability to customize all of them.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It definitely gives, and I've modified it, and I'll probably keep modifying it too. Like, I don't think, personally don't have a problem using the zoom because I think a professional golfer has a really good idea where their ball is going to land based upon what they do. But I also understand that the purists might disagree with me there. So let's talk online.
Like, I always think of real golfers are like human binoculars almost. You know, they know exactly what to, well, they have a caddy too, right, helping with all that stuff. So,
exactly.
Yeah, but again, it's up to preference. It's exactly the way that you want to play. And I think for golf to be successful and for everyone to enjoy playing it, we have to be able to make sure that all different types of players can play golf. You know, there are people out there that want to go out and just play, you know, just want to left swing up and down and have a great time and go 22 under or whatever they want. And, you know, we want those people to be able to play as well as the guys on hardcore.
Yeah, good point. So with online's interesting. You've got the tournaments, which I definitely like, but you've also got the head-to-head play. And, you know, it's I'll be frank here. It's been a little strange playing head-to-head. I know it's been early.
Yeah, with guys warping around, yeah.
Yeah, so that, I'm just curious about that. I mean, did it come out the way that you expected it? Has it sort of evolved? You know, it's different than, like, you know, I mentioned the golf club earlier, where you sort of just see the golf balls flying through the air as opposed to the people. So, you know, I'm curious how that went from, you know, drawing board to, you know, in-game, and if it's, you know, if it's how... If it's what you expected, and if what you think, you know, if you're going to keep making tweaks to it, you know, sort of as you get feedback from people that are playing online head to head.
Yeah, I mean, I think I really conceptually love the idea of seeing everybody on the course at the same time. It kind of gives you the idea of playing. If you're on with, you know, a headset with your buddies, it feels like you're playing in a virtual foursome, which is really
cool. Yes, I completely agree with that. I definitely think that if you're playing in a party with three of your friends, that is the way to do the head-to-head. That is excellent.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of, we talk about it, you know, for us, that's what we feel is where it's incredibly fun. I think that, you know, we'll obviously always take a look at feedback and see what comes in and see what people think. I don't think any of us are arrogant enough to think that we can just know everything all the time. So, you know, obviously we'll take a look at feedback, what we get, and make decisions based on that. But I think conceptually, you know, the idea of having a virtual foursome like that is the right one, and being able to see your friends and chatting. There's obviously some sacrifices you have to make that work. And, you know, just like with anything, obviously recording this on launch day, we'll keep monitoring and taking a look, seeing what the health of the service is, or, you know, any issues people are encountering. And obviously stay tuned to all of our social accounts if anything comes up. You know, we'll always do the best we can to communicate with you all out there. But yeah, I mean, I think conceptually where we landed is the right place. And, you know, it's up to us to listen to everybody and make sure that that's what people want to.
So we're,
I think that the virtual forcing is the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's no different than any other sports game, or really any other game. If you're playing with your friends, it's better than if you're not, no doubt.
Yep.
So I completely agree with you there. Running out of time, so real quick, a couple quick things.
Yep.
Number one, what was Rory McIlroy's influence on the game? I'm curious whether, you know, is he just a name attached to the game, or was there more, you know, was there more to it with what he, you know, had to do with when he started working?
I will be completely honest with you. Yeah, he had a lot of involvement. And from the very start, you know, when they started talking about it, the team went out and met him in Dubai, actually, sat down with him, and really picked his brain. They showed him kind of early tech prototypes and things like that. And he really was involved with kind of the creation concepts, et cetera, of the game. And he really kind of represents for us the next generation of golf. That's why he's selected, and he's on the cover. And that's where we feel like we're pushing this game itself, kind of from the ground up, right? So we can work together as we build this thing. And then, you know, I personally, you know, went to quite a few events with him, and he always wanted to play. I'll never forget it's like literally burned into my mind. It's funny. We were, again, at the match play. This is the weekend of the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight when he had tickets to the game, or to the fight. And he couldn't go because there was weather or something of the sort. And he had tickets, and he ended up obviously winning the tournament, so it worked out for him. But earlier in that week, we had basically done a press conference with him. And we had to have the game set up, and he's going to play for a little bit. And he walks in right through the throngs of media, right up to it, and just starts ripping shots. You know, just knew exactly what to do, loved the game, talking about it, very enthusiastic. And it's just one of those cool things that when you get to work with somebody like that and they understand and they appreciate it and, you know, they've helped you build this thing together, it's really, really cool. So, you know, we've met him quite a few times. I have personally. He's been an absolute pleasure to work with everybody. And I think that, you know, you can see, just like you mentioned earlier with the introduction of the game, I mean, he was involved. I mean, you see the cover athlete right there talking to you about how he feels during a major. It's pretty damn cool.
So a couple more quickies before I let you get out of here. You have competition out there. The golf club it's not a licensed game. You know, it doesn't feature real-world courses, at least licensed ones. It doesn't feature, you know, real-world golfers. But it's out there, and, you know, there's a lot of similarities. Obviously, it's simulation-style golf. Did you play the golf club? Do you enjoy the game? Does having competition out there make things different for you, whether it's direct influence or subtle influences, or, you know, was there no sort of looking at how they do something and thinking, that's interesting? Or, you know, I'm just sort of curious, when you have a direct competitor who's been out there for a while, how that sort of impacts what you think.
Yeah, one, we definitely all played the game itself. I mean, I think there's things with every game you look at that you can, you know, you look at and you think about, and it doesn't necessarily influence your decisions or you, but it's always good to obviously take inventory of it and see what, not even the golf club, but other games do too, right, in sports in general, and see what you're doing. I think from a, you probably, if you've ever talked to me about Madden or NBA and other things, it's one of those things that I like to think to the people here, we don't need competition to kind of push us to innovate. We all are very passionate gamers. We love sports games. We love the games we work on. We want nothing but the best for those games. So, you know, what we do, obviously, is we have, I mean, lists and lists and lists and lists of things that we would love to be able to put into all these games, or even in this game in particular. And it's one of those things that, again, it's just a priority exercise. So does having competition matter to us on a day-to-day basis? I mean, it's what's out there, right, and you want to make sure that fans of those games may also enjoy playing your game. But I think from what drives us daily, it's all about innovating and making sure the game's as fun as possible. You know, making sure that we love to play it. I mean, we all go home and we play this game all the time, every night. You know, we've been playing it for a while, and we still want to play it all the time. And for me, that's why what pushes us is we want to make the game as best as possible, so we want to play it, so we can have fun with it, because we know that means everyone else out there will want to play it as well. So, I mean, obviously we're aware of competition. We know they exist. We've played the game quite a bit. You know, we know it's there. And we're also respectful of the fact that our players are going to play that as well. So we want to make sure that everyone that plays our game can have a great time. And that's just sort of, you know, I don't think it drives us necessarily, but yeah, we're obviously aware of it.
All right, so I guess it's not a question, it's more of a statement, but while you can't map out what it is or when it is, you are saying for sure that more content is coming, and at least some of it will be free, and also sounds like you think that people will be happy with what that is. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it's a fair statement that free content updates will be coming after launch.
Okay, very good.
Yes, well, right. And I think that fans be quite happy with it. Yes.
Good to know. Well, Ryan Ferwerda, producer on EA Sports, Rory McIlroy, PGA Tour Golf, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations on shipping a game. It's a big deal. You know, no matter how small or big a game is, shipping it out to the world is a milestone that, you know, a whole lot of people don't get to experience. So congratulations on that. Good luck with the title. Good luck with moving forward, and we are very interested in what you're going to build on with it. I think it's a good foundation. It's a fun game, and we just want some more of it. So congratulations and good luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys. And you know, as always, if you ever want to reach out to me on Twitter, our team, all that stuff, you know, we're always listening. We're always out there. So, you know, make sure you reach out to us. We're always looking on forums. So just, you know, it's a back and forth thing, right? We want everyone to be a part of this as well. So with that, I appreciate the time, Rich. It's been great as always.
Well, all right, Brian Weedy. Rory McIlroy, PGA Tour Golf, has now arrived. It arrived for those of us that have EA Access on the Xbox One a few days ago. It arrives for the rest of the world on Tuesday. You and I both spent plenty of time playing it. So give me your initial thoughts on it, like right off the top. You know, what are your initial impressions?
So I don't really consider myself a golf purist necessarily, but I have played many golfing games over the years. And because I kind of fall in that middle range between seeking an arcade game and seeking a pure simulation, Rory McIlroy PGA Tour should probably be right down my alley, right? It should be, because they're trying to make this game appeal to a more casual audience with the additions and what they've done with options in the game. That being said, nothing in the game really resonated with me very strongly. You start off with the prologue, which kind of walks you through, along with Rory McIlroy talking about some of the moments in the U.S. Open and playing some of those moments. And I actually thought that was fairly compelling, but it's over in 20 minutes. So you move on from that. And I kind of compare it to that opening cinematic that you played along with in Madden. I think it's a nice way to get you on board and into the feel of the game. But the emotion is lost after that, kind of, because there's so few modes and there's so few golfers and licensed courses. And what you do have in the career mode is very plain and basic. And then the online play I thought was horrifically terrible, the new design they have for the online play. And on the course, it's fun. I think it's fairly fun, I would say. And I enjoyed my time playing. And the courses look fantastic. Graphically, the courses look great. And that's one of the biggest improvements you can get over the previous generation with the Tiger Woods games. But besides that, I'm hard-pressed to find anything in this game that's better than the Tiger Woods series other than the visuals. I mean, that's what it comes down to, and I don't think that's really $60 worth of value there yet, especially when you consider there's only 8 real courses on the disc, 9 if you pre-order, and then a couple fantasy courses. So the graphics aren't really going to take over everything. You're going to say, well, that makes up for this really thin career mode, or that makes up for not having a Legends of the Majors type mode, which you had in Tiger Woods 14, those nods to the history of the sport, which are completely missing here. So I think what EA crafted was kind of a game that they wanted to appeal to different people, and they definitely did that with the various gameplay styles, giving you different ways to play. But at the end of that, you're still left with a game that doesn't feel like it has an identity. And I even wrote about this, like I think it was like 3 months ago. I said, it was obvious that McIlroy was having an identity crisis, losing Tiger Woods, and how were they going to market this game now without him? And it was clear that they were going after this casual audience. And I just don't think you draw those people in with what they did. And I think you also alienate the sim-minded players and those who are looking for more content. So it's disappointing because the potential is there because it's still a fun game to play, but there's just not enough to really hold your interest for extended periods of time.
Well, let's start with what I think is the biggest strength for me personally with this game, and that is the mechanics. I really enjoy the different ways that you can attack the course, right? You have the 3 pre-built gameplay option. There's arcade, there is something else, I think maybe it's called 3-click, and there is tour.
Yeah, the classic is 3-click and
right.
Then tour. Yeah.
And so I sort of dabbled in all 3, and there were things that I liked about them and things that I didn't. For example, in the 3-click, I really liked a couple of the options for, like, the zoom option, where you can sort of get a good idea where your ball is going to land, and I liked the reading of the greens, but I didn't love the actual 3 clicks. I thought that's where I would stay. But after probably my first 3 or 4 tournaments on the career mode tour, when the 3-click mechanic just killed me on the green and I wound up blowing up holes going from potential pars or even birdies to like double and triple bogeys because of different things that happened, I then wanted to try the tour mode. And while I really liked the left stick swing mechanic, which to me is very reminiscent of the golf club, which, as you know, Brian, is one of my favorite games of the last few years. But it also took away the zoom option and the reading of the green. So ultimately, what I realized was, and what I appreciate very much, is the ability to customize it and to take the different things that you like from the 3 sort of pre-built ways to play the game, and I put them together. So now I've got the left analog stick, but I put on the zoom so I can sort of have an idea where the ball is going, and I kept on the reading of the greens. And while I know that purists or hardcore players will sneer at that, on the other hand, if you are a professional golfer, Brian Weedeye, reading a green is something that you do, and professional golfers know very, very, very well, based upon the wind and the club that they're choosing, where their ball is going to go. So I don't feel that using those options is, you know, somehow giving me a significant advantage. So at the end of the day, I really like the ability to sort of mix and match and pull the different things. And now I'm playing with a custom the custom mechanics. I'm really just on the course enjoying that. So kudos to them, because that's not something that really has, you know, I've been able to do a whole lot of in golf games in the past.
Yeah, it's a little ironic because tour mode, tour gameplay style is supposed to be the really hardcore simulation one, but it's much easier than the hardest version of playing in Tiger Woods the last few years. This tour mode is easy. Like, no matter how much you mess up the left stick, your shot almost always goes straight anyway. I mean, I haven't missed a single fairway. So there's some interesting things with that and the classic three-click mode, which shouldn't be the most difficult, but I've seen many people say that's the one that's the most difficult, that they have the most trouble playing with that. It just, if you miss it, you're going to miss. So you have to wonder what's going on with that, because classic shouldn't be the most difficult one, at least according to EA. And then, yeah, I'm not big into the arcade one, but I'll tell you, I like the options, and I think having the way to play different styles on the same game is something that other sports games should incorporate.
Well, I mean, MLB The Show is the best at it, and so this is very reminiscent to me of the way they can really tailor this game to how you like to do it. And the other thing that I found was, as I'm playing it, I'm sort of always making adjustments to where now that I found it. So, like, you know, first starting versus where I am now, and I can even see making further adjustments as I get better and better. If I get to the point where you are, Brian, where you're just killing it and you're under par all the time, I'll probably make it more difficult, but I'm not there yet where you are.
Yeah, I don't think I'm very good at the game, but after the first 9 holes on tour, I mean, I've been shooting under par regularly. So it's just because the only time I struggle is on long putts or if I hit into a bunker, something like that. So, but you mentioned the show. Even the show doesn't have an arcade mode, and we don't have arcade games anymore. So if the show had a mode where you could flip on arcade and it made home runs go 550 feet, or, you know, like in McIlroy, you have the arcade mode where you can add spin, change like the flight path. I mean, it's stuff that's not realistic. And so I'd like to see some of that stuff implemented in other games too, where you could just flip that on and and play the game in a little different way. So I think the gameplay styles are actually one of the few things that McIlroy really got right in what they were trying to do in appealing to a more casual crowd, as well as trying to hold on to the simulation players.
So going from probably one of its strengths to something that, to me, the more you play it gets less appealing is the career mode. I started out on the career mode. I was enjoying it at first. I liked the approach that they take with the quick rounds, where you play 5 or 6 holes in the first round, the second round, it simulates left eye. When I say I like it, I mean it's an interesting way to approach it, in that you get a variety of the holes on the golf course, but you're not tied to playing 18 holes. It sort of makes it feel like you are playing on different days. You get a better feel for how the tournament is going. Like, you know, it used to be you choose, okay, well, how many rounds do I want to play? 1 round, 2 rounds, 3 or 4, you know, like in our friend Owen Good always plays full 18 holes, 4 rounds. So, you know, it's interesting. Again, it's not like groundbreaking or anything, but I liked it because, again, it sort of gave me a feel. And what's funny to me, Brian, is like my first 3 or 4 tournaments, I couldn't make the cut, and I could never make the cut because at least one hole, sometimes two, like I said, I went from should have been a birdie or a par to like a double or triple bogey because the three click mechanic. Like, sometimes I would be hitting the A button to get past the cutscene to get on the green, and then when you hit it, you know, I didn't realize I was there, and then there's no way to get out of it, so sometimes you go all the way up and land like a 3-foot putt would just go like, you know, 50 feet past it, and it would drive me nuts. So those were causing me problems. So then as I've sort of went to the different approaches, it's made that better. But the career mode itself, some really just I mean, I guess it comes from the fact that there aren't that many courses, but it's very dry. You know what I mean? For all of the sort of setup that they do with the introduction and making you feel like, you know, you're gonna have an emotional connection to what's going on, and you're gonna feel like you're really a real golfer in the middle of something working his way up. There's none of that. It's a very dry presentation. The crowds are nice. They sound good. It gives a nice little bit of excitement, but overall, it's a very straightforward approach. There's, you know, the lack of courses really starts to show as you move through it, and all of a sudden you're playing the same course, you know, on the 10th or 11th, you know, tour or, you know, event of the tour, you're playing the second course. Like, I played probably the Boston course at least three times so far. And, you know, so that really starts to rear itself to where the more you play it, the less interesting it is. And you also have no idea where you are in the season. Am I halfway through? Am I a third through? Am I almost done? Like, it feels incomplete in both the number of courses that you're playing as well as just what you can do and where you even are in the world.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you on that. And you missed one other big point about career is the creative player is awful. I mean, you can't even choose people have pointed out you can't choose facial hair. There's no facial hair. I mean, it's just basic stuff. They don't have a game face feature with which Tiger Woods of the past had. So there's another thing you've lost. And game face is going to NBA Live instead, which is weird, because if there's one game that needs the game face and needs a good creative player, it's golf, because 90% of the time you're playing as your own player, your guy, yourself. So that really hurts it too, is the really just terrible creative player.
I want to follow you up on that real quick. I'm going to be completely frank here. I don't care about that. Like, you know,
you don't care about just playing with. I mean, they do not look good either. Like the.
Well, I want to be clear. I personally don't care about that. You know, I'll spend 30 seconds setting up my avatar. Like, I just want to play. Like, I want to go. I completely understand that that's important to some people, but I don't want to pretend like it's important to me. I didn't care. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, I would not have known unless you told me about how flimsy that is, because I just quickly X through it. But I'm that way in any kind of a game. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to personalization of my character, I just want to get in and play. Unless I look completely ridiculous, it's a non-issue to me. Again, I understand how that's important to other people, but I'm not going to pretend to be upset by that because I could care less. But, you know, that's just a personal thing.
Yeah, it's such an element to the career mode, though. I'm surprised you just grab a generic guy and go.
I do that in my player in NBA 2K. You know, I just get the first guy and I go. It's just, you know, again, everybody has things that they like and they don't like. And to me, personalization of character, just you care less.
At least in those games, you've got full teams of rosters and so many other ways to play with guys that represent their real life selves, the licensed players. We've only got 12 golfers in this game.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of it, is that creative player kind of has to be a bigger part of it because there's so little else. But the career mode, you're right, the lack of courses really hurts. I mean, we've known this for weeks. We've known that the lack of courses would hurt career mode. And it really is. It's very basic. There's no calendar, like you mentioned. There's no calendar to look at upcoming events.
I kept looking for it. I'm like, where am I? How many tournaments are left? How many have I played? What's my history? Like, none of that's on there. It's bizarre.
Yeah. So it reminds me a lot of, and I won't, you know, it's not exactly comparable to UFC from last year, but that game had a very kind of basic career mode. It also didn't have game face. But there was more within that UFC product than we get with McIlroy. So I really think that that's one area that's a major weakness to this game. And the competition doesn't have a great career mode either. And they added that as DLC. So it's really rough. If you're into career modes, it's a rough time as a golfing fan, because neither of these products are really going to give you a enriching experience playing through a career.
Well, in one area, and I've talked about it quite a bit, one area that the golf club excels is in its online play. Not necessarily just when you're playing online live with your friends, but just whenever you go into the golf club, you can play with your friends, even if they're not there. You can have an experience where you and I can be playing together. You might have played yesterday or a month ago, but I'm playing against your ghost and I can see what you're doing, there's always that sort of sense of community and competition. And so far, in what I've played, and I played quite a bit of it, there's none of that in Rory McIlroy PGA Tour. Like, you can play online with people. It's a very strange experience, and again, there's none of that social interaction with your friends, or if it's there, I haven't found it. It's one of those things that with the golf club that I didn't realize how much I would enjoy it, but now it's laid bare even more, sort of how lacking Rory McIlroy is in the online and in the friends integration so far.
Yeah, we even lost another popular feature, which is country clubs from Tiger Woods, because that was kind of the social experience that the Tiger Woods franchise had. So what EA did this year, and in theory, it makes some sense. They said, you're going to play online and we're actually going to render your opponents on the course with you. So you would think that would make playing through it even more fun, is that you see your buddy or you see your opponent just standing on the course where he's at. You see him taking a shot on the greens. You see the ball going and missing or going in. But I was streaming and I said, okay, let's try it online. So I go on. Me, myself and three others playing through a course, and it was just absolutely dreadful. I mean, for a while I didn't see anyone, and then all of a sudden someone just popped in, just out of thin air, just popped in and just stood there, and then basically they vanished after another few seconds. I mean, it was a lot of that, and on the green, you have that happening. It's a distraction. That's all it was a distraction. And so that was really just awful, an awful experience, this whole idea. It was better when they did the shot arcs, which is similar to what you get in the golf club, where you see what they shot, but it's just the arc. You don't see a player there, none of that popping in and popping out. And in addition to that, the online matches have no commentary, no crowd sound, so it's just completely dull. And I quit out after the first. I played through one course and then I started up another and then I got about three holes and I'm like, I've seen enough of this. I don't need to put myself through this anymore. So the online, they do have tournaments and stuff. And I think if you're playing with friends and you're all on a microphone, it might be okay. It might be passable. But the design for online this year is just a failure. It's really terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly there are like tournaments. And I'm ready for tournaments, right? Like I enjoy playing in tournaments in golf games, not just in Rory McIlroy PGA Tour, but like for years we've had fun setting these things up in different kinds of golf games, and I enjoy that. So I'm hoping that offers some, you know, once it becomes available to everybody, I'm hoping that offers some interesting ways to play the game, because it feels, again, like sort of the way that I like. Feel like I want to play this game is I either want to play with my friends in real time, like you said, where we're all in a party and we're chatting and we're, you know, sort of experiencing the game together, mm-hmm. or I want to chase scores in tournaments and things like that, but not with anybody else, you know, popping in or popping out, like you're saying, maybe seeing their arcs and stuff. So, you know, it is early. Obviously, it's just EA access right now. Perhaps kinks are still being worked out. It's entirely possible that the sort of pop in and pop out smooths out, you know, at launch. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying it won't. We don't know. But it's entirely possible that the actual design and the way that it's supposed to be is not coming across yet. It's also entirely possible that that's exactly how it's going to be. But even without that being said, you know, what you said, the fact that there's like no commentary and it just
feels... Which, by the way, the commentary, by the way, is one of the better parts of this game.
I disagree. Yeah, no, I'm not a huge fan of the commentary. I'm not saying it's awful or anything like that. But you notice when the commentary is not there during the online.
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, barren.
It's right? dead. No crowd, too. The crowd noise is gone. I mean,
that's right.
It was that whole experience was yeah. just it weird. Was dreadful.
Because when you're playing in a career mode in a tournament, you know, you hear the commentary, you hear the crowd, it sounds alive. Like, you know, you feel like, okay, I'm in this thing. People are watching and paying attention and stuff like that. So, yeah, the commentary, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm not suggesting it's bad by any stretch. It's okay. Now, perhaps it's a nature because of my struggles on the green, for example, with the three-click mechanic. I continue to hear the same comment over and over again about how I'm like a plumber out there. And then the other guy says, oh, yeah, it's like a bad dream. You got to wake up. Like, I heard that just the first night. I heard that four or five times. I hear it constantly. So, you know, other than that, I'm not, the commentary doesn't do anything for me, really. Like, it's not a positive. It's not a negative. Like, you know what? It's interesting comparing it to the golf club, right, where you just got your buddy who's basically you know, talking to you there. It's interesting. It's a different approach. And we've had this conversation a lot about, you know, the concept of a television presentation versus I am experiencing it, right? Like, if you think about it, the way that it's presented to you in Rory McIlroy PGA Tour is kind of ludicrous in that you are the golfer, but you're hearing the television commentary. Yeah. It should be like you should be interacting with your caddy almost, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, in sort of the pursuit of the television presentation, you're playing as a golfer, but you're watching yourself on TV and hearing.
Hey, well, EA tried it with what, Madden 06, the radio announcer, they had the radio announcer, and I mean, they've tried different angles on the commentary, and I think everybody just kind of settled on television presentation type commentary as the style they prefer.
Yeah, and you know, again, to me, it's not a positive. It's not a negative. It's just I'm neutral on the commentary, but I'm definitely not impressed by it. I think the other, you know, just another thing that I've been sort of, you know, debating about how much I like or don't like are some of the little in between things, like the cutscenes when you're walking with your caddy, you know, the first few times, like, oh, that's nice. That's
I want to turn that stuff off, Rich.
But yeah, now I'm at the point where I don't want that. That's what happens when I'm like, oh, now I'm hitting the A button, and oh no, I started putting, you know.
And the celebrations that your guy does, right?
The robot.
Yeah, sink a 3-foot putt for a par, and you do the robot. I mean, this is kind of what we've been talking about for months now, is that direction of them trying to appeal to a different crowd, because this is not realistic. These are not realistic celebrations. You're going to see Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods or whoever doing when they're playing in real life.
Yeah, it's just strange. And again, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, I'll kind of chuckle. The second time, I'm like, and you know, the third or fourth time, I'm like, really? Like, again,
it's irritating.
And that's where I'm just like, okay, let's just move on, you know, and not have that. You know, it's just an interesting setup. So let's talk a few other things, right? So we talked a little bit online. We talked about the career mode. Those are sort of the core aspects of the game. Did you try the Battlefield golf course?
Yeah.
So what'd you think about that?
Yeah, actually, on youtube.com/PastorPadre, you will find a full 18-round run with I use Jordan Spieth on the Battlefield 4 course for all 18 holes. Went through the whole thing, and it's kind of a cool course. Like, if they had put that much time into the other courses, like some other fantasy courses, I would have played those too. I mean, I thought it was kind of fun and different, but. It's a par three course, so every hole is par three, which is kind of unique too. But there's only one hole, and it's hole number three, that is really just out there where you actually have to hit it off the carrier to get onto the green. Other than that, it's more just kind of being in that different environment, which I thought was kind of cool. So I actually liked the course, and no, I wouldn't have marketed the game around it like they did by unveiling the at the time it was just called PGA Tour, unveiling it with a battle, aircraft carrier crashing into a course. That's not how that really got it off to the wrong tone, but I think it's a nice addition. And it's one of the few unique kind of touches that are in this game that actually, I think works to an extent. It's just not how I would have portrayed this product as being about that, which it kind of was at first.
And what about the nightclub mode? What did you think about that?
Yeah, I didn't like it at first. I thought it was dull. And then you get into it a little further and you start getting these power-ups and you have to use them in different ways and you can only choose three. And they use a different amount of your energy, so you're limited on how and when you can use them. And some of the stuff in there is a little bit fun. I mean, is it something I'd sit down and continue playing? No. It feels to me like what I'd play on my phone in concept and everything. It feels like a mode that came from a phone. So it doesn't work for me long term, but as I was playing through it, I was like, this is fairly fun. I wouldn't go back and try to perfect each one as I completed them. If I got one star, I was like, okay, on to the next. Because it's, again, that mobile kind of one or two or three stars that you get in an Angry Birds type of thing where, oh, well, I want to go back and perfect that. So completionists and people who are into topping their own scores and stuff like that might enjoy it. But I didn't think it was that great. And there's like five fantasy, created characters that you can use in there that are a little different from one another, but three of them are locked at first. So you have to unlock them also through the process. I don't know. It didn't work for me. Certainly wasn't something I'd say, this is why I would buy Rory McIlroy PGA Tour. It's a fun diversion in a sense, but it's not something I'd play long-term. And I don't know if it'd really appeal to that many people other than those who like those type of games on their phone.
Yeah, see, the problem that I'm having with it is that I'm, writing up a review for Games Radar, and so I have to go through every single mode, and I'm in that mindset. Yeah. It's like, all right, I got to try this, and I just, perhaps it's because I had to try it. I did not enjoy nightclub mode. Perhaps once I'm finished with the review and I go back to it, I might, when that pressure is off and I'm not just thinking about it in terms of, okay, what am I going to say, and is this good or not, and when I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to play this for fun, perhaps I'll get more out of it, but I just did not enjoy it. It did not appeal to me. I didn't get very far either because after the second or third of the items, I'm just like, well, yeah, I'm bored. That's me. I'm a very particular kind of a guy. Like when it comes to any big time sports game, I really like to just get in and play the real game, whether it's, our online franchise in Madden. Like I don't play the gauntlet, I just want to play the game. It's NBA 2K, I want to play my season or my player, and when PGA Tour golf, I want to play golf on the PGA Tour, like that's sort of my thing. So that's why I tend to not go in the direction of these other versions.
This is my other issue with the mode, is that unlike the gauntlet, which you just mentioned there, or various mini games and other sports games, this won't make playing through Nightclub Challenge won't make you better at Rory McIlroy PGA Tour on normal courses. It's not really teaching you anything because you're using these power-ups that you don't use anywhere else.
Right.
You're not going to be steering your ball on the ground with a power-up when you're playing through normal courses.
That's right.
You're not going to be dodging, moving objects and like trying to, all this stuff that you're not going to have these turbo boosts in the air. All this stuff that won't apply to actually playing the game. So it's unlike many mini games or different types of tutorials that kind of incorporate mini games. This one won't make you better at McIlroy. I think that's the biggest issue for me with it is if I could play through it and feel like, okay, now I'm going to shoot straighter. Now I'm going to putt better. Now I'm going to do this stuff because I learned new things through the process. Then it would be worthwhile, but it's just something that's thrown in there and you're not going to get much out of it.
Yeah. I completely agree, and perhaps that's why at the end of the day it doesn't really do anything for me. And the funny thing is, for all the sort of negativity surrounding this conversation, I'm going to tell you, Brian, I do like this game. I don't love it. I do like it. I like the way that once I really enjoy, for example, the draw and the fade mechanics too. How you can really, you really do have a lot of influence over. Mm-hmm. How to approach the shots. And I think that has opened up the game for me. Now, again, I've been spoiled by the golf club, and I like the mechanics of that game more than this one, but at least I do
have a feeling like I do have control over where I'm going and what I'm trying to do with the ball.
It's a friendlier game than the golf club. It's easier to, absolutely. And so,
yes.
So it does appeal to, if you just want to pick up and play, this is a much easier game and you're going to have more success. And because of that, for some people, you're going to have more fun with it. And as I was playing through and doing well, after the first 9 holes I played on the tour gameplay style, I was like, well, I'm enjoying myself because I'm doing well. And I think it almost feels like it's designed in that way to make it fairly easy for people not just to pick up and play, but to succeed at, so they don't get discouraged. And then those who still struggle at it can go to the arcade mode, the arcade gameplay style, or try the 3-click, which turns out is for some reason the most difficult. And plus the meter, I have to mention this, the meter on the 3-click is too slow. It's annoyingly slow. So that bothered me. I think I'm just used to using, meters in kicking and Madden and stuff where it's much faster. Yeah. But so I think it's a friendlier game. It's easier for people to enjoy, but is there enough there in the product to enjoy it long-term? I think that's where it really falls apart.
Yeah, I agree. I think in its current state, and this is where I want to sort of end, is having a little bit of a discussion about post-current state. But in its current state, Rory McIlroy PGA Tour Golf feels to me like it's incomplete in every way. It feels like the career mode is sort of incomplete. Certainly feels like the online is incomplete. It just doesn't feel like anything is completely built out in the way that most AAA sports games are. But even with that said, I like video game golf, and I am having fun with it to a degree. I would be surprised if in its current state in 60 or 90 days that I return to it like I return to the golf club. And again, it's a lot about how I can just hop in the golf club and play with, or against my friends right away. The golf club has, virtually infinite variety of courses. Now, conversely, when you have an infinite number of courses, you don't get familiar with any of them. You will certainly be able to get familiar with courses in PGA Tour, yeah, for better or for worse. So I guess I want to sort of end our initial impressions and review discussion on this. Brian, what do you think this game will be like in 60 or 90 or 120 days? Like, do you feel this is going to be a UFC-style situation where there are going to be consistent and significant updates to rosters and courses and things like that? I mean, what do you think we're going to be saying about this game in 60 or 90 days? Because, boy, once the fall games come out, a lot is going to have to happen, in my opinion, to PGA Tour golf for any of us to revisit it, after, August, September, and all the big games come out.
Yeah, first of all, this is not going to be UFC because it's not the same situation. In UFC, they added fighters which were already included under the UFC license. In McIlroy, if they want to add golfers, they have to go out and pay individually for each golfer, and they have to create them. If they want to add courses, they have to put a lot of work into courses. UFC was not adding arenas and things of that nature. So are they going to add stuff? Yeah, they've already tweeted they're going to add stuff. They haven't, suspiciously, they haven't said anything about what they're going to add or when or how much it's going to end up costing. They're going to add some stuff. They're going to add some courses, certainly. Some of them are going to be free. Then they're going to start doing the paid stuff because, look, there's no way they can keep adding courses for free. It's not, like I said, it's not the UFC situation. They're going to add golfers. I think it's going to end up there's going to be some free additions and there's going to be some paid additions, and that's going to be happening over the next 6 months. They supported UFC for, I think, about 9 months. I suspect that's what they'll do with this game. Now, how much that transforms McIlroy, if that changes it into a game that people want to buy, I'm not sure. But by that point, it's going to be cheaper, or it's going to be in EA Access Vault where you don't even have to pay for the game outright. And then that's why that paid DLC is going to be such a big deal, because they're going to put it in EA Access at some point. And for UFC, it was only after like 6 months or so. But then they're going to have stuff you can buy, 15 more courses that you can buy or something along with that, so they can make money that way too. So I think that's the long-term strategy, is You're going to get people on board now who they can. Unfortunately, it's not going to be as many as they could have done if this game was if you look at my poll from last week of how much the impact of the lack of courses and golfers on this game, half the people, 2,000 out of 4,000, said they weren't going to buy the game because solely because of the lack of courses and golfers. So they're missing out on a lot of people right now. Can they potentially bring them back? Yeah, but it's not going to be as valuable. They're not going to be as valuable for EA unless they end up spending money on DLC. And so that's where we're going to be heading. And that, you know, I don't know if that's going to be enough for people or if people are going to move on. There are too many sports games coming out, like we talked about many times in September and October, for this game to get a lot of publicity over that period of time, no matter if they add stuff or not. They may have just missed the boat on it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, though, because I'm sure EA is going to try to bring it back to a level that's more respectable.
Will definitely be interesting, and I, for one, am glad that it's here, right? I mean, this is July. This is the time of year where we would traditionally see NCAA football. This fills in that gap. It's still basically a couple of months from the time that this is released until Madden comes out. I'm enjoying the game. It is a limited enjoyment, but it is an enjoyment nonetheless. I'm certainly not suggesting that anyone run out and buy this. It's certainly a buyer beware situation. I like video game golf. I have for a long time, and I'm glad that this game is out there. I'm enjoying my experience, but by no means am I satisfied, if that makes sense. It's something where there's some good stuff here at the foundation, but boy, it feels like it could be so much more, and maybe it will be so much more in the future. But for right now, the debut of Rory McIlroy PGA Tour Golf is one of limited success, I think, is probably the most fair statement that we can make. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast. We'd like to invite you to go check out hitthepass.com, a website all about the sports games of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We've got video, we've got audio, we've got written pieces, all about the sports games that we love. On behalf of everybody from Hit the Pass and the Press Row Podcast, thanks.